Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello? Hello?
Podcast Network Asia.
From the bank accounts, we would already know if they know how to handle their finances, because as they say in grad school, parang you should do finance because it's like doing your penance. So it's something that you really have to do and you have to know. And from there also, we check if they have ongoing transactions, if they have good relationships with their suppliers and their clients as well. I think it's very telling if your suppliers are also happy with you. Sometimes you even hear it lang sa voice of the person you're talking to. If when we conduct our trade references, if they are happy that, si ganyan, magaling magbayad yan. Minsan the enthusiasm of the supplier is already telling if this person is someone who they like to work with, they like to transact with.
Again, good evening, good morning, good afternoon to wherever you are watching from here in the Philippines and from all over the world. And welcome to my podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. In my podcast, I interview the country's pioneering business personalities and entrepreneurs to learn more about how they think about doing business. What are their success secrets? Can we have those same success secrets for our own businesses? How have they innovated, pivoted, evolved their businesses during this pandemic, but more importantly, what business opportunities do they see emerging in this new normal? Now, is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you know personally that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Please do let me know. Just drop me a note. I would love to learn from them. Tonight, I'm very happy to have over here the president and CEO of ABU-EMP, Unlimited Credit Resources, a company that offers fast, hassle-free, non-collateral business loans tailor-fit for SMEs, something close to my heart, our small and medium enterprises. Their company, ABU-EMP, has been helping many Pinoy business owners build their own dreams since 2011. They aim to aid monetary needs of every small business here in the Philippines by offering fast and collateral-free business loans. But what I want to find out from them here tonight is, what makes them different from the other lending companies out there? So tonight we have their president, Ms. Meryl Ting. Meryl, welcome to the program. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, RJ.
Hi, Meryl. So nice to have you here right now. Before we start, for those listening to the program here right now, Meryl has been very generous. There's also a very special offer from their company, their lending company. And before we start, Meryl, can you share a bit more about what is your special promo for all those listening to the program here right now?
Yes, so we have a very special promo for the listeners today who will be applying for our loan, for our business loan. If you apply through our website, just key in the code RJ Ledesma Podcast XABU and we will slash 2% from the processing fee when you avail of the loan.
Got that. And again, can we just flash here right now the website that they can visit for to get to be able to secure that loan? Let's show again the website over here. The website is www.abu-emp.com. Again, for those listening to us on the podcast, that's www.abu-emp.com. And the password, the promo code, can be flashed out again on the screen, Ariane. The promo code to use is RJ Ledesma Podcast XABU. Now, Mary, let's get into this here right now. No, ABU-EMP, it's a lending company, but we don't, you have to give us a better understanding exactly what you guys do for ABU-EMP. And I understand you're also celebrating your 11th anniversary, which is why you're offering a great promo here today. Congratulations.
Yes, we celebrated our 11th anniversary just last August 4. And I know it's a very big milestone also for us, especially for my mom who founded the company in 2011. And during our anniversary celebration, the main theme really was bringing ABU to this next decade, bringing ABU to this new normal, and going the next step for the company. So ABU EMP, Unlimited Credit Resources Inc., as you said, we are a lending company, and our main product is the non-collateral business loans. We cater to small and medium enterprises, the business owners of here in the Philippines. What we do is we offer fast. When we say fast, it means that if you submit your requirements completely, we can give you an approval within 4 to 5 working days. So definitely faster than the traditional banks or mm-hmm. getting a loan from the commercial banks. And I think the main offering here also is that it's non-collateral. So we will not require you to have or to give us any property or anything in exchange of getting the loan. I think for some SMEs, of course, for those who are still starting out, maybe in the first 2 years of their businesses, a lot of them really just depend on their skills in selling, their skills in doing the operations of their business.
The hustle, just the hustle, right?
Yes, the hustle. And mm-hmm. not necessarily, I mean, not all Filipinos have properties to offer mm-hmm. and have collaterals to offer. So we are giving that access to those business owners who have that drive, that hustle, and that want to earn more, to also have access to this business loan.
Got that. You know what? I just, you know, as I look at your name, ABU EMP, sometimes it's very hard to remember ABU EMP. Maybe you can help us better by explaining to us what are the are those initials that stand for something?
Yeah, actually, ABU EMP are acronyms. So ABU is actually the name of the mentor of my mom, who helped us build the business back in 2011 and up until now still supporting us. EMP is the initials of my mom, Erica M. Peña. So that's my that's
Erica,
the name of the
company.
Thanks for
watching us here right now. Please watch live.
Hi, Ma.
Thanks so much for joining us, Erica, and for letting us borrow your daughter here tonight. Now, let's get into it a bit more. No? We're talking about lending, and we're talking about lending to small and medium enterprises. So let's break it down a bit. So let's make it sort of like financing 101 for people who want to understand things and know when it's the right time to borrow from a institution like yours. So first of all, let's make it very, very simple. There are financial institutions and there are non-financial institutions. I understand what banks are as financial institutions, but I know that you guys are categorized as a non-financial institution. What does that mean exactly?
Technically, it just means that when you're a bank, you offer more services, especially deposits. So you you get deposits also from customers. So it's not necessarily just investments or getting loans. You also keep bank accounts or deposits for your customers. In the setup of a financing or a lending company, so we don't offer those services. We don't offer fund transfers or anything like that. We offer loan products, so financial products, specifically for our company, a lending company. So we lend funds to business owners for them to also complement their cash flow if ever they are having problems in terms of receivables. Or, I mean, I think that's a common problem right now, even before the pandemic, delayed receivables. And sometimes there's this opportunity that you can invest in something or at least buy something that will surely sell, but you don't have the cash flow right now because it's tied up with their receivables. So that's where we actually come in, that we lend the money to them on a very reasonable interest rate in a very quick way, hassle-free way, and enable them to make that transaction, to secure the transaction, secure that additional income for their business.
So that comes, the lending, you come in really to help them unlock their receivables. So we'll talk about later on how you actually vet the company whom you loan to. Mm-hmm. But the idea is basically that this company is making money, or this SME is already making money, and therefore I can lend them money because I know that there's a source of where they can pay mm-hmm. it from. Is that correct?
Yes.
So to be clear, for a lending company, what's important is that you are lending money to a business that is already making money. You're letting them borrow money, not because they're putting up a business, not because they're doing this one. They have to show some sort of track record before they come to you. Is that right?
Well, at least for our company or the loan product that we are offering, yes, that's the case. So that's why I'm very sorry we do not offer loans for startups, but we require a very minimum number of we just require them to be at least operating for a year for them mm-hmm. to be qualified. So at least there is just this history of operation, history of really making income also for the business. So we are there not really to support the start of the business, but to keep the business going and to keep their business growing.
Okay. Now, there are people who want to actually learn more about your what you guys do. And I've got Perla Yap watching all the way from Palawan. Thanks so much for watching tonight here, Ms. Perla Yap. So having said that, there is a lending company. I know there's a lending company and there is a microfinancing company. What's the difference between a lending company and, let's say, a microfinancing company, which also lends to small businesses?
Okay. I think microfinancing and microlending company has really been prevalent right now because of the use of online lending platforms mm-hmm. wherein they just upload, like, for example, one ID, they get approved instantly for a small amount. The difference is really comes with the amount that they are getting. For microfinancing or micro lending companies, they usually lend below 100,000 pesos. It's mostly the market that they are catering is mostly on smaller business, micro businesses as well, because the funds that they need matches also the loan amount that they can give. On our side, lending, we offer a higher loan amount. So our minimum actually is 300,000. It can go up to around 10 million, depending on the size of the company and what we see is their capacity to pay. So I think that's the main difference.
So it's really the amount of money which they're able to borrow.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Now, having said that, earlier on offline, you were talking about the difference between, and I wasn't even aware that there was a difference between a lending company and a financing company. So you are a lending company. What makes you different from a financing company? Or what makes a lending company different rather from a financing company?
Yeah. Actually, right now we're applying to be a financing company and we're hoping to get our financing license very soon. So to become a lending or a financing company, you actually have to apply with SEC, not just as a corporation, but to apply for a secondary license as well. So when the company started in 2011, we applied for the lending license. And with the lending license, technically, it allows you to lend out money. So there's not necessarily any requirement of what you are lending it out for or if there's a specific payment that it is for. And that's the difference of having a financing company.
Okay, to be clear, I wouldn't mind me interrupting you. Lending company, you can lend that out for whatever purpose that you want. But what you did is you're lending out specifically for business purposes in your lending company.
Yes, in our lending company, we tailor fitted it for business loans and for business owners. But other lending companies, they usually do personal loans, salary loans, and other loans that are also non-collateral. But that's usually the difference of a lending and a financing company. On the other hand, a financing company, the reason also why we're applying for a financing license allows you to finance certain products, finance certain assets, meaning that you can now offer loans that are collateralized, you can mortgage and things like that. And the reason also why we are applying for that license is because we would also want to expand our loan portfolio in order to also cater to business owners who would want that option. Sometimes what they want is they want us to finance a certain, for example, a certain order that they have for their supplier. So at least we have that flexibility to also do that.
Okay. So basically, one of the bigger differences also between a lending company and a financing company is that for lending, you can only do non-collateralized loans. But for a financing company, you can do collateralized loans. Is that correct?
But
the amounts of the loans are the same. Or if you go financing company, you can even make larger, loans. You can put out larger loans rather.
Yeah, technically, you can still put out larger loans with financing companies just because it's more of a risk issue. like the reason why you can go higher with a financing company is because it is collateralized.
Because you're holding collateral.
Yeah. Okay, because on our side, since it's non-collateral, the risk is, of course, much higher. So we are usually a little bit more conservative in terms of the amount that we lend to, that we lend out.
And I also have, your mom actually is chiming in as a comment as well for ABU, what ABU stands for. Thanks so much, Ms. Erica. No, ABU stands for Ashok Barumal Utam Chandani, a.k.a. Albert Utam of Esquire International. Esquire, yes, of course, we've got Rajan Utam Chandani running it right now. Rajan is a fellow Go Negosyo mentor and through Esquire, also helps run the farm at San Benito here right now. Really some of the stalwarts or trailblazers in this type of financing. So again, as you can see, it's nice to see that, you know, that your mom actually came from them, you know, that there's no, usually when you come from a previous company that you used to work for, you set up something similar, there's a bit of an, you know, adversarial or a relationship, but they actually helped you, I understand, in putting up this business.
Actually, that's something very unique with Mr. Albert, or can I call him Ninong Albert? He's my Nino. Mm. He's a very supportive person. My mom was with Esquire since the 90s, early 90s, uh-huh. I think. So she was working in the financing industry for, I think, 14 years before she decided to put up her own business. And of course, at the start, or when she was just thinking about it, she was a bit hesitant because, where would she get the capital? Also, she's working for a financing company. Technically, she'll be a competitor if ever she does put up her own company. But you know, that's where you see actually the support and the mentoring that came from Mr. Albert that she passed on to my mom. She trained my mom in almost every aspect of the financing operations. That's why she's very excellent in almost anything related to our business. And when we were starting, they were very supportive in terms of supporting us even financially also when we were starting.
Well, that's a really amazing story, and I want to get into that later on when we talk about when we really get into the origins of ABU EMP. But right now, I want to discuss a bit more about, you know, the lending company, because for many people, this is the first time that they're coming across. They're saying, "Okay, this is great. I actually have an avenue right now to borrow money." You know, and again, can I be just show again my Aryan here on the screen, the website that they can visit if they intend to borrow for business purposes money from ABU EMP. That's www.abu-emp.com. Again, that's www.abu-emp.com. And they've got to use this promo code. The promo code to use is RJ Ledesma Podcast XABU. That's RJ Ledesma Podcast XABU. And what they will be getting is, if they do use this promo code, they'll be slashing 2% off from the processing fee of all approved clients who will use this promo code. So again, take advantage of the 2% slashing of from the processing fee for all new approved clients who will use this promo code. Now, I want to get back a bit more into the idea of actually non-collateralized loans. No? So, not the burden, but the bigger challenge, I think, and the how to stand out in this industry. The first competitive advantage that you need is actually how to be able to I guess analyze whether or not how you vet the buyer, because you got to be aggressive. You got a lot of competition out there, and of course you want that loan, but you want to make sure it's balancing off. Can they pay back and it's non collateralized? So how exactly do you keep that as a competitive advantage? Your ability to vet people who become your clients.
So our top there are two actually qualifications to be to qualify for the non-collateral business loan. So the first one, as I mentioned earlier, is you have to have a business registered with DTI or SEC for at least 1 year. Mm-hmm. The next qualification actually is that you should have a checking account that you use for your business that is active for at least 1 year. The checking account for us is really important, and it really forms part of a big part of the investigation and of our decision making in terms of do we loan out or not. It is because we feel that the checking account, the bank account of a business, is really reflective of the operations of the business. Kung I mean, kung makikita mo that there are a lot of transactions, that there is a healthy balances, then you already know that this person knows how to manage the business well, and knows when a cash flow is already healthy or not healthy anymore. Because we believe also that business owners should always be on top of their finances. I think I'm currently studying right now, but one of our profs always tell us
are you taking entrepreneurship right now?
Yeah, I'm taking entrepreneurship right now with Asian Institute of Management, AIM.
Oh, fantastic. Really great. Really great. I know several, in fact, one of my business partners is Jose Joe Magmagsaysay, Potato Corner. In AIM is Masters of Entrepreneurship. People like Ilac Diaz, also of Litter of Light. And right now, doing this ABC of BLK 513. So a lot of great people doing this. I'm so happy to hear that you're doing that as well. To you know, it's not too late to really form your skill sets. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes,
please go ahead.
Mm-hmm. From the bank accounts, we would already know if they know how to handle their finances. Because as they say in grad school, parang you should do finance because it's like doing your penance. So it's something that you really have to do and you have to know. And from there also, we check if they have ongoing transactions, if they have good relationships with their suppliers and their clients as well. I think it's very telling if your suppliers are also happy with you. Sometimes you even hear it lang sa voice of the person you're talking to. If when we conduct our trade references, if they are happy that, si ganyan, magaling magbayad yan. Minsan the enthusiasm of the supplier is already telling if this person is someone who they like to work with, they like to transact with. And syempre, one thing that we consider, because also we know that this is a continuing relationship, and of course, there will be the payments will be on a semi-monthly basis. We also check the receivables in the form of we ask them if there are pending POs that they are still unserved for contractors or construction companies. We ask them what are their ongoing projects, what are their ongoing contracts, because it is very important for us to really ensure that this will be a long-term relationship and that the money that they are borrowing from us will really go to the operations. Of course, we always interview them. So what is the money for? Where are you going to use it? Usually they just say na parang pangdagdag ng cash flow or for this project. But you know, in reality, we never really know where the money goes. Because when we deposit it in their bank accounts, it's up to them what they do with it. But at least when we do our credit checking, we are confident that the money really goes into the business. It goes to a project. It goes to another PO that they have to do, they have to serve. Yeah, basically that's it. And another thing also, I would like to add, aside from what the documents or the numbers are telling us, sometimes the way that we talk to the client, the way that because we still do ocular inspection until now, we have to interview the borrower. The way that they engage with our ocular inspectors, the way that they tell us about our business is a really big indication of if they are happy with doing their business. Because I feel that we have to feel also na this is something that they want to do in the long run, eh, di ba?
That's right. I over here, Jen Q, looks like a happy customer. She's saying ABU, heart over there. Thanks so much, Jen, for chiming in over here. Much, much appreciated. I actually have a question now. When you're talking about the different companies, what are the profile of companies that usually approach something like a lending company like yours? Who are they? Because, like you said, it's construction companies. So my guess is because I have a real estate developer background. It's because sometimes they're waiting for the receivables coming from the developers. But that's a presumption, of course, no? It takes a long time for developers to pay. So can you give me an idea of who these companies are? So people also listening here right now, they go, I might be a good candidate or not a good candidate to be able to apply for a lending company.
Okay. Before I answer that question, so hello to Perla and Jen, my classmates from AIM.
Ay, kumusta kaya pala, mga supporters? Maraming salamat, Perla and Jen.
And no,
we've got some tough questions for Meryl. Please ask us, Perla and Jen. Ask the other classmates to come on board. Ask some really, really tough questions over there, okay?
No, I was actually talking to them this afternoon. I was telling them, maybe you should, you should practice, parang i-rehearse nyo ako with the questions, ganyan. Then they were telling me, that's nothing from our, e-laboratory presentations or project presentations in school.
So you've been doing your practice right here, right? So let's get back into it again, right? What are the type of companies which approach which are the profile of companies who are more or less something that you want to get? Aside from just the kind of companies, maybe aside from what they are, maybe in terms of financial, what are you looking
financial
for?
Financial need.
You talked about it kanina briefly, right? You said you're looking at the transactions. That's why you're looking at their checking account to see if there's a lot going on. What are the other things you look at? So profile of the company and also maybe profiles of the type of companies and also what are the other things that they have to prepare for when they approach a lending company like yours?
Okay. In terms of industry, the top two industries that we cater, or at least in terms of the current clients that we have, are construction companies and those who are in wholesale retail trade, so trading. For construction companies, as you mentioned, since you know real estate development, there are a lot of times that, syempre, progress billing ang construction. And sometimes there are also delays in receivables because there's processing and things like that. And they still have to continue the project. And syempre, there are times na magkakasabay yung projects eh. So in terms of cash flow, to also manage their cash flow, they would need additional funds to wait for the receivables. So it's some sort of bridging as well, just to bridge them for the next...
Bridge financing for you guys. or what you call mezzanine financing, right? The higher interest rates, but then because of that one, it's because it's bridge financing that they're supposed to take you out. And then...
Yes. And considering that, for example, since we have higher interest rates than the banks, but because we provide it faster, they feel that even if we have that high interest rate, it's actually within their profit margin, their profit margins when they collect. So instead of halting a project or canceling an order, parang it's better pa to just borrow the money because you know already that you'll receive that money and you'll have that money. I mean, you'll receive that receivable eventually, maybe just in the next 30 days, in the next 60 days.
And you stop construction, you have money.
Yeah, yeah. That, right? Which you cannot do, right?
Yeah.
You cannot do because your reputation, of course, their reputations are also on the line. Hindi naman sila pwedeng mag-stop. So that's where we come in. In terms of trading naman, as mentioned, minsan there are orders. Same, because they extend also credit lines to their customers. Minsan 30, 60 days, ganyan. Mm-hmm. So ganun din. Their funds are in the receivables, not yet due. But there's this new client or another long-time client nila who wants to order more. They cannot say no. And I don't have funds right now. I can't serve your order. So that's where we come in. You don't have to say no to your client kapag hindi healthy yung cash flow mo. You can always borrow from a lending company. You can borrow from ABUEMP. Let's find a solution for that short-term need for your company.
So let's follow the train of thought right now. Now, when it goes to a lending company, the one that I want to ask you next is that, for example, and I know that you're doing your master's in EIM because there's come a certain point that, it's a mano-mano thing right now when you get approval. It's like you've got all the information there. Then you take it up to the ManCom and kind of say, okay, they sign up, meet all the criteria. Therefore, they should pass, they should not pass. And there's a little bit of, intuition or, wisdom that goes into it. But having said that, we're moving to the new normal. Things are becoming more competitive. Are you trying to do things like data analytics or cloud computing? And I'm sure you're familiar because I know your background, Meryl, you're actually a... Yours is it's a science background, right? Your undergrad, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. What's your background? I'm a chemistry major, by the way.
No, because for me, it's chemistry, physics. Sometimes the physics, the chemistry majors do very, very well when it comes to finance because they can see things from another perspective. I mean, they're looking from a mathematical perspective. And I mean, I'm just asking off the top of my head, are you guys starting to look into this type of things? Because I'm assuming that's also a way that you can be a bit more competitive where data analytics comes into play, especially people come to you online, or is it still something that takes a lot of human touch and sort of like mano-mano in the processing and approval process?
Actually, until up to now, though we are introducing new tools in the company, minsan talaga the intuition and the feeling of I mean, my mom has been in this industry for more than 20 years, and sometimes when she's
alam mo niya, she is your data analytics person, kumbaga, she is your cloud computing person, kumbaga.
You know, actually that's something that is that I still have to learn, yung intuition niya na yon, parang she already gets it eh, and it's so hard to learn. Though of course, syempre, data analytics, cloud computing, and all of these things. Actually, we've started talking to some data scientists also, because we're asking them also. Kasi nga parang nagiging ano siya ngayon, di ba? Kumbaga strategic ngayon.
Yeah, data,
for
is, data
most
is king
companies.
Now, not like before.
We've, yeah, I mean, to use your data.
Not like before, maybe during your mom's time there was nothing there, but right now, hopefully, there's a way that we can quantify or algorithm or turn it to an algorithm what she knows, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we've actually talked to a couple of data scientists, and we've been getting their opinion on how we can what we can do with our data. We got in touch with them to also develop our own. I know there are a lot of credit scoring. There are a lot of credit there. Bureaus there, yeah, who offer credit scoring and things like that. But since we also want to tailor fit it to the way that we usually screen our clients. So we've been starting it, but right now, it's still not being implemented. I think right now we're more into the collection of the data. Because to be honest with you, it's siguro medyo early pa kami in the game in terms of digitalization. We're actually launching our online platform hopefully this year, so that clients would have access to their accounts online. They wouldn't have to call us or call their business managers or consultants to be able to know ilang checks na lang ba ako, can I renew already, or what's the status of my loan application. And by using that platform, we intend to collect all the data that we can in terms of their behavior, in terms of paying, do they extend, do they default their checks and things like that. And maybe come up with something to use that data for. But for now, it's more of an exploration pa lang.
Got it. I mean, the data pull, it starts actually with trying to identify the data points that you need to gather. So again,
yeah, yun pa nga eh. Kasi diba, there's so many information. So which one is important? I think nandun pala kami eh. Parang, which one ba talaga yung very telling in terms of will this client default because ganito yung data niya or something like that. So we're still in the process of looking into that. But yeah, maybe in the future.
Yeah. Now, another question I want to ask, and many people often, of course, will ask this question when you're discussing with a lending company, is that the interest rates are very, very high. I mean, that gives people pause to be able to borrow because it's very prohibitive for some people to borrow from them. You know, it's often likened to, you know, it's like the credit card technically, demand with high interest rates. I mean, how do you want people to perceive the interest rate that you're offering? Because obviously, there's a reason why you're offering it higher than the bank because you're taking a bigger risk. That's why, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it also is a point for people to be hesitant. Mm-hmm. My like when you're saying the construction companies, we were talking about them earlier on, the reason they can take it in is because hopefully they already computed the cost of money into their financial statement. So they know if I'm going to borrow money from you, it's because it's part of the deal, right? I need it. But then how do you bring in your clients who are a bit hesitant about the interest rates being extended by lending companies?
Okay, just to give siguro the listeners and the viewers an idea how much a bank usually charges in terms of interest rate and how much we charge. For a collateralized loan with the banks right now, I think if you're a good paying, if you have a business line with them, it's usually, I think, 6-8% per annum. So that's per year. Personal loans, before I know they offer personal loans, pero higher, I think mga 12-14%. With our company, the interest rate is actually starts at 3.5% per month. So yes, it is quite high compared to the banks. But then again, first of all, it's non-collateralized. Mostly, when you go to the bank, they'll ask you for a property or something to offer to them as collateral so they can give you the low interest rate. For us, we will not require you that. Another thing is, when you apply with the banks, no hate for commercial banks or whatever. But it usually takes a long time. Usually it takes around 1 to 2 months to be approved or rejected of a business line with the banks. Sometimes nga it.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Could stretch pa ng 2 months and then you'll know na lang na you didn't get approved of the loan ganyan. With us, we can actually give you we developed a process here in the company wherein there is a pre-approval and there is a final approval. The reason we did that was because there are companies and borrowers who would just like to know qualified ba ako? But I don't want to go through all of the documentation of pulling everything together, giving it to you, only to let me know na in 4 hours or something na hindi ka naman pala qualified. So what we did is we only asked for 2 requirements. So we asked for the application form and we asked for the bank statement. And our promise is within 4 hours, we will let you know if you are pre-approved or if you are rejected.
So at least
there is this sense na there is a chance that I will be approved. So I will now submit all of the other documentations, my business documents, my SEC documents.
Ganyan, at least on both sides, at least the effort is worth it, di ba?
Kasi minsan they'll think na ang dami namang documents ganyan. I don't even know if I'll be approved. And if I were that client that didn't get approved, and then pagkapasa ko pa lang after a few hours, you'll tell me that I'm rejected. Parang it's very demoralizing for me, considering that I put all that effort into collating all of the documents to send to you. So So within 4 hours, you'll know if you're pre-approved. And once you complete all of the requirements within 5 days, you'll know if you're approved. And actually, the approval, once we give you the approval, we will not tell you na, you're approved, but you can get the loan after 3 days pa, 2 days pa. The next day, you can get it already. Yun yung difference. So, again, the reason why we also charge higher is, as you mentioned, the risk, of course, is higher for us because it's non-collateralized. However, we frame it this way to business owners kung paano namin sila kinoconvince na taking a loan with us is also worth it. If the amount that they are borrowing for us is, for example, for an order that they know will be repaid to them within, sabihin natin 90 days or something, if they know that their profit margin for that order is, for example, 30% or something like that, so if I don't have that money right now to serve that order, I will lose the whole 30%. Wala na yun. Wala na akong income. When, if you borrow with us, there is interest of, 3.5 times 3, 10.5%. But at least you get that 19.5% income at the end of collecting that order. So, di ba? Zero ba o sa 19.5? Even if, it's more of knowing when to use the loan talaga para maging worth it siya sa business, because at the end of the day it's more of, will I pursue this because I know na will I borrow for this because I know na makaka-income naman ako dito, or wag na lang, ayoko ng utang eh, ganyan. And madalas with Filipinos, sobrang takot tayo sa utang. Sobrang, even with ano, di ba, we don't want others to know that we have loans, na meron tayong utang kay ganito, kay ganyan. But we want to change that perception in a way na hindi naman lahat ng utang, I mean, gas-gas na siya, no, na hindi lahat ng utang is masama, because there are loans like this na will enable you to get that additional income. Diba, isipin mo, you don't have the capital. Like for example, I needed for a 500,000 order from my supplier. I don't have 500,000, but a company like us can lend you 500,000. So with the money that we lent you actually earned pa from it. And of course, us as your financial partner, both of us earned from it, diba?
Okay, so either zero ka or may kita ka, di ba?
That's the way that you
look at it here right now. I like Denise Peña commenting here right now, loving the insightful discussion we're having here so far. Thanks so much, Denise, for listening. And wow, again, watching all the way from Isabella. Thank you so much for listening, Violeta Felicitas. Thanks, great. I'm appreciating that you're all getting some insights from my discussion here with Meryl Ting of ABU-EMP. Another question I have over here is that so I understand basically the model. But now I'm also wondering right now, sabi ni Carla Bim Milano, 3.5% interest. Good. Thanks so much, Carlo, for your affirmation over
but
there.
But I have to say, yeah, the 3.5 interest naman is negotiable. Okay, it's negotiable. It's not a set in stone.
Got that. It's not just like the benchmark that you use, the rule of thumb you use, but based on the paperwork that they submit, based on the businesses which they have, I guess that really comes into play as you talk to one of them. And if you want to find out more about becoming a customer of ABU-EMP or to see if you're pre-approved, and you can find it in 4 hours. Again, it's www. Pakita mo na, Arian, www.amp-emp.com. And again, just use our promo code, RJLedesma Podcast XABU. And if you do and you are approved, you will get a 2% slashed off from your processing fee for approved new clients. Now, Mayor, the other question I had here right now is about the business model. I think you don't mind me looking at the business model of you actually having to lend money, because you're a lending company, not like a bank. You know, people understand banks. They have people's money, which they lend out. That's what the bank does, right? But what's the business model naman for you guys? How exactly does a lending company make money? Do you also have a group of investors who give you money and say, okay, you can lend this money out for me, and they make a certain money, then you also make some money for lending the money out?
Syempre the first source of funds is our own funds and the income that we get also from the loans. Another source of funds is with the lending and financing industry, there is this magic number with SEC, which is 19 lenders. So yes, we do get funds from external individual people who have these funds. They lend it out to us, and then we give them a fixed interest rate also. So, kumbaga, they lend the principal to us, then we pay them an interest na lang on a monthly basis. Sometimes, yung iba ayaw nila na to pay out with interest, they just want to roll the money, so that's also fine with us. Another thing is we have financial institutions also who are also our partners. So we also get funds from them to also support some of our loan releases.
I get it. So you're sort of like the middleman, and your job is to do good. Yours is to do good funds management, right? And yours is to be able to discern which one should you lend money to. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And in return, you pay a fixed, but you, naman, pay a fixed interest rate and a fixed amount to your lenders.
Yes. So at least, kumbaga sila, they don't have the risk. We manage the risk.
So you are the risk man. You are the fund manager and the risk manager, and your biggest, in other words, the best competitive advantage that you have, or what should be your skill set, is really in the risk management.
Yes. And I mean, identifying if a client is really credit worthy, if this business is really worthy of getting a loan.
Got that. So things are much clearer right now. People listen. I mean, I learned a lot from there. And you know, sometimes people are saying, the discussion is so insightful. It's really because I also want to learn a bit more about how you want to borrow from lending company, because I run several other small companies myself. And you know, this is something that we can also share with other people who are SMEs listening to the program here right now. So if you like this podcast, please share it with other people who also have small companies who might need a sort of bridge financing to grow their companies. Now that we understand what a lending company does, I mean, everything you've shared with us here so far is what a lending company does. But I think here right now, the question people want to ask is that lending companies can be ubiquitous. Maraming mga lending companies out there. What makes your lending company, I guess, what is the competitive advantage? And I guess that's what your AAM professors are looking for you to answer, right? What makes your lending company, what is the unique selling, in marketing, the unique selling proposition? Or what's your secret sauce that makes you stand out from other companies out there?
You know, my operations management professor, Rene Domingo, told me in our second term that, you know, business loans are commoditized. A lot of people are giving it out. So you have to go beyond the loan. And that really got me thinking. Kasi right now, it's so easy to put up your own lending company. Mm-hmm. The capitalization needed or required by SEC is very minimal. And then also, sometimes even the former loan agents who already know how the process works, credit investigation, parang they also venture out into lending.
So, they can make their own. They can make their own. Right?
Yeah, they can make their own. So a lot of competitors talaga. What we are trying to do right now, and when we had our vision mission crafting in April, we had a goal setting workshop was... I know this is medyo far-reaching ng konti, no? Pero the key term is financial partner. Though, of course, my strategy professor told me, but, you know, banks always use that, financial partner, di ba? So, what are you a partner of, di ba?
Yes, parang, exactly.
Pati ba investment, di ba? Eh, hindi ka naman, wala ka namang investment or anything. So, the main proposition is that EBU wants you to pursue success. And for that to happen, it means that the relationship with the client is not transactional. Alam mo, going back no, to our previous years, it's so weird that the people that we usually talk to are those who have problems, who are extending checks, who want to restructure their accounts. But the good payers, you never really get to talk to them. Parang they just reach out to you when they have to renew their loans. And sometimes we will call them, kunyari June na sila for renewal, and sasabihin namin na, hi sir, hi ma'am, you can already renew your loan with ABU EMP, and then they'll tell us, ah, hindi ko pa kailangan, not now. Mm-hmm. And then that will get you thinking, na parang, what do they think of you now na you only remember them kapag mag-offer ka na ng loan, and on us, a missed opportunity that will keep us thinking is, ah, kailan kaya niya kinailangan ng loan? Kasi right now, hindi niya kailangan ng loan. So what we are what we are trying to do right now is to really develop that relationship more with our clients, with our customers. We are starting to build relationship managers. We want to call it relationship managers within our company, who will regularly check in with our customers as well. Ask them, how is the business? Of course, first ano lagi dyan is to remind them that they have a payment due in a few days. And then ask them, kamusta po ang business? Meron po bang mga needs for... I think it's a way also of knowing kailan ba nila kailangan ng loan, di ba? So, and also, I mean, are there other financial needs, other financial products that they need na baka hindi swak dun sa term loan or dun sa non-collateral business loan? Like for example, I just need these funds kasi may hinihintay lang akong receivable or something. So in that way, we also understand when they need the loan, how their business is doing, and if there are other products that we can serve them. Another thing also is, our team realized that a lot of business owners in the Philippines don't necessarily have that business background. Like me, you consider me an entrepreneur, but a few years before this, I was a chem major who had a manufacturing background before I entered the company. So what did I know about running a business, di ba? Parang it was all learning from experience, but I was lucky because I had my mom who taught me how to run the business, how to manage the office. But a lot
ano
of
business... Ano ginagawa ni mami ngayon? Nagbabakasyon na lang araw-araw? Ano ginagawa ni mami ngayon?
Mas nakaka-relax na siya ngayon.
Erika, ano ginagawa mo ngayon? Pinapatagong mo si Erika sa kumpanya. Ayan.
Mas nakaka-relax na siya ngayon. Travel, ganyan.
Okay, so travel na lang. Yan yung okay.
Sabi ko sa kanya,
life goal.
Sabi ko sa kanya, ngayon, she can go on travels na 1 month siya wala dito. Okay lang, ganyan.
Sarap naman ang buhay, tita. Sarap.
So yun. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. So yun. So parang a lot of them don't have that business background. What we started actually a few months ago was, oh yeah, nag-reply na siya.
Sabi niya, retire na daw. Retiring. Baka happy retiring. Malang emoji yan. But I think it's a happy retiring right now seeing you run the business. Okay, see, keep on going, Mel. You were saying, so they don't have the business acumen. Or they
we don't have that. Kaya actually what we started a few months ago was to launch networking sessions with our customers na informative for them. Actually, the first few topics that we covered was very basic, like for example, taxation, income taxation for entrepreneurs and things like that. Well, you'll be a speaker next week
That's
also
right.
in one of our sessions. So we want them to have that. I mean, it won't necessarily, we want it to be informative also for them. But aside from giving those skills, we want to form also a community. Kasi actually yung hesitation namin before, before we launched those networking series was, meron bang a-attend? Because a lot of them don't want others to know that they have a loan with us. But we also want them to realize kasi that the network that we are trying to build for them, which is the customer base of ABU-EMP, will actually be very helpful for them also. Na parang malay mo dito mo na ma-meet yung bago mong supplier, or maybe you are in need of something and someone from a client also of ABU-EMP can help you. So we really want to build that community. We want to equip them in some way, or at least give them ideas.
We want to build that relationship with them.
Like
you can put together all your clients, actually, right? If you've got current clients, they can actually be your network, your ecosystem, helping each other.
Yes. Maganda yung word na yun, ecosystem. Though feeling ko minsan overused, pero that really is it. To build that ecosystem for them, and to be in that ecosystem, you have to be a client of ABU-EMP.
Fantastic! Really great idea over here. Well, sabi ni right now in this networking that you have of clients, ABU-EMP commented 24 already said yes for the next networking session. So hopefully, how can people become part of this one? They have to be a client. Oh, client na kayo. Again, the website is www.abu-emp.com. Now, may another question. Many people right now, there are those companies that have been closed down by the SEC because of not just usurious practices, but the sort of social pressure that they put on people to answer. Can you have these people, as a sort of like social responsibility? How do they know which are the lending companies that are, I guess, credible or that they should work with? Or what are the red flags, rather? Maybe the red flags are better. What are the red flags to watch out when you're being approached by a finance company or a lending company, rather?
For me, for someone na alam mo naman, I think very, nung makaka-receive ko na lang ng text na, kilala mo ba si ganito? Meron siyang utang, ganyan. Minsan, it's really scary, no? Why these lending companies use those tactics just to frighten you and pressure you to call this person para magbayad sa kanila. And that's really a very bad practice of collecting. From the start pa lang, you're already ruining the relationship. And for me, really the red flag is if it's too easy to get the loan, and if it's too good to be true, usually that's a red flag. Like for example, I'll lend you 50,000, you just have to present a valid ID without even verifying other details or something, mm-hmm. or really interfacing with you what this loan is for, ganyan. Because I feel that legit financing and lending companies will really manage their risk. So will really get to know their client, their customer, their applicant. So for me, yun yung red flag. Kaya minsan, I know some lending companies like ourselves, ang usual nilang reklamo is, there are too many documents that you're asking, too many questions, and things like that. But it tells you kasi that we are really doing our work, that we are really ensuring that this loan is something na, kumbaga, will be beneficial for the both of us, because we know that this loan will really help your business as well, and also minimize also our risk.
Get that. I get that. And having said minimizing risk, I keep in mind, let's talk about the idea of people defaulting on their loans, because that's you know, in any industry, especially in financing, there's default risks involved. And in your company, it's a non-collateralized loan. So, you know, we're thinking now, okay, if that's the case, anong habol ngayon ng isang lending company kagaya ninyo, if that happens in that case? Can you help us just understand? I'm sure you've asked that question many, many times, but then just for people also listening here right now who want to borrow, they go, oh no, what if I can't pay? What do I do next, right?
As much as possible, we try to support our clients who default. Kasi what we always tell them is, it is much better for you to contact us when you're already having problems, so that we can already adjust your payment schedule even before your check defaults. Because we are very much open to helping our clients if they want to restructure. Wala namang problem for us yun eh. And it is better actually na go to us or they reach out to us even before pa na mangyari yung default. However, syempre, there are times na minsan feeling ko it's a Filipino trait also na nahihiya na lumapit, nahihiya magsabi, ganyan. When they default their payments to us, so of course, we are very much understanding. We just ask them, okay, so what is happening with the business? What is your payment proposal? What is the most realistic payment proposal for you? Of course, we also weigh yung magiging kumbaga exposure namin or expense namin if ever we do grant, like for example, a restructuring, ganyan. But usually naman, it's minimal for us. Kasi mas prefer pa nga namin, di ba, na ganun nga, i-restructure na lang nila yung loan. However, they're really clients kasi na minsan they'll even move out of their residence or even close down their businesses without even reaching out to us, ganyan.
Nahihiya rin yung mga yan, di ba?
So as much as possible, we extend much tolerance talaga to them. Of course, it's a standard for us to send lang a notice that you have defaulted your check, ganyan, to make sure that they are aware that a check has bounced. But yeah, sometimes also if you're, I mean, hindi naman kami charity. We're not a charitable institution. We have to recover something pa rin naman. Well, there are legal ways naman for anyone who's thinking of putting up a lending company. It's always a last resort for us because on our side, it is also really costly to go that route. And we don't want to burn bridges as much as possible. Because if this person naman is ongoing pa with the business, ganyan, there is still operations, then there is no cause of burning that bridge or ruining that relationship with them.
Got it. Very, very interesting. I also want to find out, so we know now basically how you're able to handle, so we know now what people react like, right, when they actually have to do defaults. Wag kang mahiya. Talk to the bankers or talk to your lenders. They are there now to work together with you, especially something like EBU, EMP. You know, I wish we had more time. I didn't realize that our conversation already went all the way for an hour, which is really great because I'm learning, people are learning from this discussion. But I guess the one more thing I'd like to tackle before moving on, though, is, well, this shows also a little about the entrepreneurship. And I know that, you know, we were having an offline discussion that prior to the pandemic, you know, you were actually being more of a manager to the business, you know, managing it. And when I say, you know, you say managing it, you know, it's, you don't, you're not really adding value, but you're just making sure that operations run. There's a professor, see Ed Moratel, the late great Ed Moratel, who's also from EAM, moved to Ateneo Center for Entrepreneurship. He said, what an entrepreneur does is that he adds, there's a value added that he's bringing into the company. And that's what makes him different from just being a regular manager. And you said that this transformation happened to you from being just, you know, owner or CEO, child of owner, to becoming an entrepreneur during this pandemic. tell me what exactly happened. I mean, for many of us that happened, but what was that sort of defining moment that turned you from manager to entrepreneur?
You're correct, no, RJ. Just to give you a bit of background, so as you mentioned kanina, no, I am a chemistry major. I graduated chemistry. I did not take the board exam because I already got a job from an FMCG. So I was hired as a management trainee. I worked in production and packaging for 5 years. When I graduated, 2011-2012, that's when my mom started the business. In the back of my mind, she was very supportive. Parang she didn't force anything on me that, oh, after you graduate, you have to work with our company. Nothing like that. I heard nothing. Parang she made me think na it's still my choice if I wanted to go to the company or not. So in 2016, parang I felt that it was the right time to join the company. And when I approached my mom na, ma, I'm thinking already of joining the company, ganyan. Syempre, she welcomed me with open arms, di ba?
Kasi,
I mean, yun naman talaga yung gusto niya.
Yan yung retirement plan ni mommy, eh. Right,
di ba? Yung one of the children will inherit the company so that they can retire early, ganyan. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. as you mentioned, no, from 2016 to 2020, I really felt that I was an office manager. Actually, my title then was managing director. Because, we kept on doing the same things. We would improve the process, the loan application process from time to time. But a lot of there were no major improvements on how we did things because everything was doing okay. I mean, we're profitable. We're getting the same volume year on year without doing anything. We're comfortable. Parang ganun. And then there was no need for me to think of something new because everything's okay. Parang everything is working according to how it should work. And of course, so the pandemic came. I mean, like all of other businesses, I really feel that the lending industry, the financing industry really took a big hit. There was this, of course, there was a freeze on all loan payments, so we cannot collect. And then, of course, you would understand why there will be a freeze in loan payments. But of course, for us, that means no collection at all. And then, there came to a point na I felt that the things that we used to do pre-pandemic will not work anymore. Mm-hmm. Hindi na siya nag-a-apply. And me, someone with no business background, parang actually I was thinking of already getting an MBA before pa, around mga 2016, 2017, ganyan. But when I went to the website of AIM, oh, free advertisement to AIM. I saw this Master of Entrepreneurship program. So I really told my mom, ma, i-enroll mo ko dito. Because I had that objective of, I need to be equipped. I need to know the tools, the correct tools, for me to know what to do to bring our business back to growth, bring our business back to its pre-pandemic numbers. You know, I'm already in my fourth term in AIM. And I think we are really on track. Dun sa we're forecasting na by at least by 2023 we have already regained back our pre-pandemic numbers and yes we are on track and minsan yun nga eh, yung direction the difference now and the difference before was right now I would tell my mom parang here is the direction that I am seeing. Here is the differentiation that we want to do. Ito yung mga bagong programs that we want to launch for our customers. Nandun yung change in me na ako na yung nag-take charge on what I want to do in the business, what new things or programs I want to launch for the business. And I'm very thankful na my mom was very supportive. Ano naman siya, hinahayaan naman niya ako na gawin. As long as hindi ganun kalaki rin syempre yung financial risk for us. But what we're doing naman is very, sa ngayon, very minimal steps lang. But we're seeing talaga na nag-translate naman na siya into results.
Great, fantastic. Really great to hear, Meryl. I love the story because I'm sure many others here are also experiencing the same thing. Because, you know, 99.5% of the businesses here in the Philippines are small business enterprises of varying degrees, like mine, like yours. And karamihan sa kanila, many of them, are actually family businesses where they expect the child to hopefully take over the business and it doesn't happen. But you actually took that on. So as we close out this program here right now, maybe I'd like to get, you know, some of your insights. Let's speak to those right now who are, you know, in the business because they had to be there, or because they're child of owner and they're just managing, and they're not adding that additional spark, that additional value added. What's your advice for those type of children, or, you know, to take it to the next step? How do they turn from owner to from manager to entrepreneur? What are your last tips for them?
You know, my struggle in the early years of being the managing director of ABU-EMP was, I don't know, I think it's a generation thing. For us millennials, there is this need to be validated, to achieve something great. In my earlier years in ABU-EMP, I felt that, yes, I was managing the business, but I didn't feel that like I was doing anything different, na I'm making an impact, na parang naisip ko, if I was in the corporate world, I could have been manager already, maybe I'm this executive, whatever, ganyan. And there's this, may ibang klaseng validation that you feel when you have that. However, when the pandemic hit, I think one of the main turning points also, aside from really wanting to take charge of the company, is that I realized how our business supports a lot of people. Uh-huh. It's not just, yes, it's the customers, it's the clients, it's the potential clients, potential applicants that we have. But having a family business also means that there are a lot of people being supported by this business, your family. Like, for example, this business that my mom founded in 2011. You know, my mom is a very charitable person. Ang dami niyang scholars, sa mga, ang dami niyang pinapaaral. She's very giving talaga. And I felt that if we lost, of course, knock on wood, of course, we didn't lose the company. But if I did not fight for this company, a lot of people, depending also on the business, would lose that.
What they often say, especially for millennials, is that you're doing the business because there's something meaningful and relevant to you. You know, in your own little way, you're changing the world. And you're changing the world saying that I'm supporting these people, and if I'm supporting these scholars, and if I'm not here, I won't be able to support these scholars anymore.
Yeah, and I think the biggest achievement also of being a family business owner, a second generation owner in that, is knowing that you are continuing the legacy of your parents. I'm continuing the legacy of my mom, and that hopefully in the future, sana I'm not forcing any of my sisters to be in the company as well, or even my own kid. But the inspiration that she gave me to continue with this business, I hope that I can also impart that inspiration to them to also, in some way, have that that want to also be involved in the business. Yes, I feel sometimes, siguro for others, no, being in the family business, hindi siya ganun ka-flashy eh, in terms of yung mga achievements or something. But the biggest achievement is really keeping the legacy of your parents alive, and in the process also serving a certain market that you know you can serve and you know you can help.
And with that, thanks so much for joining us, Meryl Ting of ABU-EMP. And again, for those listening, if you guys are looking to take out some money to help grow your business because you need, you know, because you know, I need it in the short term, no? Again, you can go to ABU-EMP. The website is www.abu-emp.com. Please use the promo code. The promo code to use is RG Ledesma Podcast XABU. And if you are pre-approved, you know that you'll be able to get a 2% slash off from the processing fee for all new approved clients. So again, thanks so much to everybody joining us over here who enjoyed the discussion and from listening all over the country. Again, Meryl, we look forward to you really growing ABU-EMP and really building, like we said earlier on, that ecosystem of your current clients, and of course helping more Filipino businesses build their businesses one loan at a time. Again, thank you again, ABU-EMP.
Thank you, RG. Thank you very much for inviting us, for giving us a platform also to let others know what ABU-EMP can do for them.
Fantastic. Anytime. It's always great to have fellow entrepreneurs SMEs. Again, guys, thanks so much. This has been the RJ Ledesma Podcast. Please join me for the next podcast. Again, thanks so much, guys. Have a great night ahead. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.